The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, December 20th, and we have a mess on our hands with two Monday Night Football games, one at 5 p.m., I believe, on NFL Network, the next one at the usual 8:15 starting time on ESPN, Vegas at Cleveland, Minnesota at Chicago. Of course, the first one is the rescheduled game. We'll get to all this in a second. Joining me to break it all down, multiple games, dealing with multiple of my messes, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
Will, what's going on? How you doing?
You have a bigger wreck than normal. Like, usually I'm like a tightly controlled mess. Today, sprawling disaster.
The games are going to be the messiest part of this whole thing. I know. I know. Might take the cake.
So, just for whatever reason, my email isn't working. And I'm just like, this is the primary issue here. Sully, Debo, and I were trying to communicate, and no one cares about this. Anyway, I'm gonna sum up how my morning is going in a nutshell. I have a missed FaceTime call from Pete Prisco.
There it is.
There you go. That's it. So let's a couple of things to point out. One, this should be on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. If you're watching on YouTube, smash that like button. Hook your boys up with some likes. Always helps when we try and, I don't know, it helps the channel, helps the brand, et cetera, et cetera. And then two, if you're listening on Spotify, you can leave a 5-star review or a 5-star rating, excuse me. Spotify has just recently added ratings to their podcast system, which is brand new. Sort of a thing that, you know, you would, you know, if I were starting an audio company based entirely on, the quality of music or like music and podcasts, I would probably have that from Jump Street. But hey, look, you know, 6 or 7 years in, why not decide to add a review, a rating process? Good for Spotify. So hit us up with a 5-star rating. We got two games tonight, Sully. And I mean, honestly, we had some scheduling snafus. It worked out for the best, even though the past 30 minutes have probably been, we're never getting the past 30 minutes of our lives back. But the Browns, we have now found out, we know what the deal with their COVID situation is. It was believed that the NFL wanted to move this back in order to help player safety, we think. Basically, want to give the Browns more time to test out of the COVID protocols. It looks like safety Josh Johnson is the only player for the Browns to test out of COVID protocols, which means that it was probably unnecessary for the NFL to push this back. Neither Baker Mayfield nor Case Keenum tested out a COVID protocol as the Browns announced, which means, I think I got this correct, there's going to be, Wyatt Teller had previously tested out, I believe, right?
Yep.
Okay.
That's true. Let me double check.
So I think we have, this is going to be a tricky game to deal with. We don't have a spread up right now. It has the lock item on old. Oh no! Here we go. New spread up on Caesars, fresh out of the oven, baked for your pleasure. Las Vegas Raiders -1. Over under 40.5. The Raiders are favored by 1 because Nick Mullins will be the starting quarterback for the Browns. I believe the COVID list for Cleveland. Just yell at me if I say a name that doesn't work. includes Jarvis Landry, Jedrick Wills. I had the whole thing written down right here. Here we go. Yes, Baker Mayfield, Case Keenum, James Hudson, Jarvis Landry, Austin Hooper, Kareem Hunt, and that's just on the offense. On the defensive side of things, Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney, obviously, Malik McDowell, John Johnson tested off, Ronnie Harrison, Grant Delpit, and Troy Hill. So we are talking, those are just, those are just like starter level guys.
And I'll tell you this, Will, this is Diana Rossini, ESPN, at 10:26 a.m., so just, you know, keep that in mind when you listen to the podcast. Head coach Kevin Stefanski did not test out of COVID protocols yet. She said that she was told that they're still waiting on more results. So, you know, wait and see there. But right now, he hasn't tested out of it.
So no Kevin Stefanski likely for the Cleveland Browns as well. They'll be missing their – actually, you know what's crazy? I actually have some props up on this game already. So we'll get to those in a second. Let's talk about how you – I mean – how you handle betting on this game. Good effing luck. I had Raiders plus 6.5 and had come back and gotten Browns plus 4. And then the NFL again appears to, I mean, look, yeah, they, I think they basically did what they had the good intentions when they moved it. But it canceled out my free money because I had both teams plus six. I had plus 6 and plus 4 on both sides. And then of course the book cancels it because they moved the date of the game to Monday. You know, my two units are certainly low on the totem pole of important things, but you know, how are you going to handle betting on this game? Like what, I mean,
this is a live bet situation for me. This okay. is something that you go into it. Listen, we're going to hear more information as we get closer to kickoff. If you feel confident in one way or another, whether, you know, right before, sure, go for it. But for me, if I'm trying to be a little bit more conservatively about this game, which I think you probably should be just given all the uncertainty yeah. of how all of this is yeah. going to look, you go into it saying, all right, let's see what this is going to look like through maybe the first quarter, first couple of series, and then you start making your moves there. I would lean a little bit more towards the Raiders now, especially with both quarterbacks being out, potentially no head coach. I mean, that with Nick Mullins, to me, it just feels like that's you lean a little bit towards the Raiders there. But ultimately, I want to see how these teams look coming out of this just because, again, we don't know. This is a weird kind of game, weird circumstance for both teams. Like you said, there are guys coming off of it, but not as much as maybe we thought. Did it really even matter that they even moved this game to Monday? Probably not. So to me, I would lean more towards the Raiders. But again, I'm waiting to live bet this game, I think.
I will say that it is kind of stanky that the Raiders are just -1.
Yeah.
Like, why is this game a pick 'em? The Browns didn't get anybody back. Yeah. The Browns were +4. And I mean, Josh Johnson's not worth 3 to the line. You know, they didn't, again, they just didn't get anybody back. And so I'm just confused by the nature of this line. I do think we'll see.
I think it's because the Raiders have kind of been ripe for the picking for a little while now. I mean, you know, if this was everything even, and obviously it's certainly not, but this is kind of a slam play for me for the Browns because the Raiders just, they've seemed lost offensively. You know, it just seems like their season has gone completely off the rails. Meanwhile, Cleveland, they've been hanging around a little bit. You know, obviously the division might be, you know, it's still pretty close, especially with the Ravens losing yesterday, third in a row. So to me, maybe that's just they're kind of live here a little bit. But ultimately, again, there's just so many guys out. And if they're, you know, out, their head coach isn't a part of it either. To me, that would just make me want to fade them a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, we have neither head coach is involved. I mean, you have the, you know, Raiders have the interim head coach. The whole thing is just it's just a mess. I mean, you look at this Browns depth. All right. If you take this game and tell and run through the list of guys that are playing that aren't playing, and then you say to me that the Raiders have everybody in tow for this game, and you ask me what the line is, I'm thinking it's like Raiders -4 at worst case, even though it's in Cleveland. I will say this. The Browns are going to run the crap. And by the way, this is a huge game for playoff implications. The Browns are currently the number 9 seed in the AFC. The Raiders are currently the 13 seed, but they are 6-7. A win from the Raiders here against a completely decimated Browns squad puts them right back in the playoff mix. If the Browns win, they're in first place in the division. So they have to go out there with Nick Mullins, no coach, like missing like five of their top like defensive starters, a bunch of offensive players, and try to beat a Raiders team with basically Nick Chubb and Myles Garrett. And I don't think it's that crazy that Nick Chubb just goes superhuman today, because it's not even tonight. It's today. It's at 5 p.m. and has some monster game, runs the ball all over the Raiders. The Browns are dinking and dunking and chewing up clock and you know, keeping, not necessarily keeping the ball out of Derek Carr's hands, but just shortening the game, beating the Raiders with their, and forcing the Raiders to try to stretch the field, to throw the ball around, because frankly, the Raiders have not been good at getting vertical at all since the Henry Ruggs accident happened. And I think that's what you want to do. You don't want to allow the Raiders to control this game. You want to force the Raiders to into uncomfortable positions. And I don't know if you've ever seen Mallrats, but
To me, it reminds me of that Dernis Johnson game earlier this year.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, that's the blueprint for the Cleveland Browns to kind of get this game going. And, you know, that's the other thing that you point out here with Nick Chubb. He's one of those guys that just hasn't been a part of this COVID scare, really, you know, over the, you know, this cancellation and rescheduling, I should say. So, you know, you have your arguably your best offensive weapon available, healthy, ready to go here. So that is a huge advantage, I think, for Cleveland against the team. Again, like the Raiders, like I said, I lean towards them maybe at one here, but ultimately, like I said, they are ripe for the picking. This is a team that is on a downward trajectory. Like you said, the Browns vying for playoff positioning could put themselves firmly in the playoff picture with the win tonight. So yeah, to me, I could totally see a path there where it's just the Nick Chubb type of game, where very similar to Johnson earlier this year, where you just hammer the running game and try to keep the Raiders off the field as much as possible.
I mean, Raiders have already moved out to 1.5 on Caesars. So if, I mean, nobody, you know what, nobody listening to this is going to be able to bet it in live time because we are not live. We are, and in fact, Debo's not even on. You know what, I'm really pulling back the curtain for today. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I just feel so flustered from the general nature of this game. I do think that under is probably a look.
Yeah,
I'm not sure this should be over 40. And so for me, all right, a couple of things. One, it feels like anecdotally, Sully, that these games featuring, so this runs, you know, contradictory to the Nick Chubb might annihilate the Raiders idea, but it feels like anecdotally these games where that have been moved over the past year and a half or whatever have always sort of ended up with the team that was inconvenienced, like having a, like being like, all right, F you. Like you move our game to Tuesday? Like, all right, you know, remember the Titans took care of the Bills when it seemed like the Bills would obviously thrash them. I mean, that's the first one that popped to my mind. Didn't the Steelers get screwed by the Ravens? And then
That was an RG3 game, right?
Yeah, maybe so. God, it all blends together now, these COVID games. But I could see the Raiders could come into town pissed off, run Josh Jacobs down the Browns' throat, you know, take a couple of shots on play action, and force the Browns into having to use Nick Mullins more than they want to. Like that's to your point about the live betting thing, is if the Raiders jump on top of the Browns, it's going to be real hard for the Browns to come back. Yeah. But if the Browns jump on top of the Raiders, I think then the Browns, who are a short dog, are absolutely live to win it. And you shouldn't be scared of betting them if it's a short number. If they jumped out 10-0, I don't know what the Browns live line would be. Maybe it's like Browns minus 6.5 or something like that. I don't see the Raiders storming back against them, mainly because if you get a fully charged Myles Garrett chasing after Derek Carr without any real deep threat for them to attack you vertically with, it's hard. It's just hard for me to picture. Like, they're not going to crush the Browns by feeding the animal that is Hunter Renfro, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think even before, you know, before those lines locked, I saw Renfro with a prop at like 77.5, I think there. That you go over, I guess. Do you go over
it's
that?
That's a stinky prop too.
Yeah, it was, you know, we'll see how it changes, obviously, now that it's reopened and stuff like that. But, like, you know, over 100 yards the past three games, that's one, I guess, that, you know, maybe they're trying to get you there a little bit. But to me, you know, I keep referencing that game back in October, late October against the Denver Broncos and the Browns. The reason why I bring it up is because they were without Baker Mayfield in that game. Case Keenum was the quarterback. They were without both Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. And they just completely doubled down on the run with a guy named Dearness Johnson, who at the time no one really heard of. I think he had like 21 carries in that
game. I mean, people were scared to play him in fantasy and scared to play him as your captain in DFS. And he balled out as the running back for the Browns against the Broncos in a short week,
a Thursday game.
Yep.
And again, if that's going to happen with Dearness Johnson, what's going to happen with Nick Chubb when you have him?
Correct.
You're going to see a very healthy amount of carries there. He might touch the ball 30 times.
Here's another thing that warrants watching, and I don't want to pile on my guy, Derek Carr, here, but it's going to be 37 degrees it'll probably be about 40. It'll be in the low 40s, high 30s at kick, and get colder, obviously, as the evening goes along. 15 to 10 mile an hour winds for the entire game in Cleveland. We have seen, let me find it real quick. I think it was 2019 Browns. We have seen was it 2009? That was the Freddie Kitchens team, right? Maybe it was, was it last year? This whole thing is a mess. He said, I'm thinking, yes, it was last year. So remember the stretch of games for the Browns, like it feels like 10 years ago, the stretch of games for the Browns last year. Week 8 before the bye, they lose to the Raiders 6-16 at home in a 1 p.m. Sunday game, November 1st, that featured, let's see what the weather was, pre-kick, 49 degrees. It was 35 miles an hour wind. It was one of those games where Derek Carr, 15-24, Baker Mayfield, 12-25. Now, clearly the wind is not this bad, but the next couple of weeks, three straight home games with a bye mixed in. The Texans, the Browns win 10-7. The week after that against the Eagles, the Browns win 22-17. My point is that and this is not bad weather in Cleveland tonight, but these sort of games can lend themselves to an under real quick in that stadium with these teams trying to sort of slow things down. And even, Vegas, I don't think is going to come in trying to, whip it all over the place. Like they're going to want to, you get a 14 point lead on the Browns with Nick Mullins and you're feeling like you got this thing in control. So I like the under, probably like the first half under. And I mean, I think your live betting suggestion is probably the best thing to do because I don't know that you can bet this right now. I mean, if you put a gun to my head, I would take the Raiders probably.
I mean, yeah, if you feel confident one way or another, more power to you. I want to see how both these teams look. I want at least a series just to kind of feel it out because, again, we don't
or even know. Just a pregame show. Do we even get a pregame show? Like, right. I'd like to see, do I get a dejected Nick Mullins, like, panicking on the sidelines? Like, well,
Yeah, like, he's got the bug eye where it's just like, oh, boy, okay, deer in a headlight. It's like, all right.
That's right.
Maybe we should go with the Raiders here a little bit. But I do, lean more towards the live betting kind of strategy here for this game. If you've never done it before, it's fun. That's something that maybe, again, gambling getting a much more commonplace in the NFL this season. I think that might be something from first timers, maybe kind of dip your toe into it for tonight.
Yeah. Live betting's a blast. And if you can on the live betting side, in a perfect world, you can get both teams plus money. So in theory, and I've talked about this sometimes, but like you bet I don't know if the line is even good enough to bet it right now, but when somebody scores in a game with an over under of 40.5, if the Raiders come out and score a touchdown on their first drive, the Browns are going to be like plus 220 or plus 200. You can bet the Browns then, hope that they score the next two times before the Raiders do, and then you can get the Raiders plus money. So sort of think about it that way, or the Browns score first, take the Raiders on the plus money, hope that they even it up, and then you want to be able to get plus money on both sides in a perfect world so you can guarantee yourself some profit, or just keep slamming the – and I think, too, if the Browns get up – it's not unreasonable to suggest that it will then lean more to Cleveland and the under. There are certain scripts that favor in live betting. Anyway, so we can't, I'm going to use the props that are on my site since I didn't see this coming. I've got props and Caesars doesn't. That's a shock. So for Derek Carr, I've got 255.5 passing yards. As the total, that's down from 258 from a few minutes ago. I'm going to take the under. Derek Carr under passing yards is something I'm interested in. I'm probably interested in Nick Mullins passing yards under blindly.
Yeah, I was going to like, I don't even think I need to know what the number is.
So we didn't know about Kareem Hunt yet, so we don't have a, I don't have a Nick Chubb rushing prop quite yet. Josh Jacobs over under 58.5 rushing yards. I had written down, here's what I had written down after we finished the Sunday night podcast as like just sort of kind of guessing at some of these props. I said I would take the over on Nick Chubb rushing yards 85.5 or better. Even with some of his offensive linemen out, I think you can justifiably say that Nick Chubb is going to get fed in this game. I don't think he gets game scripted out. Even a 14-0 deficit, they're going to have to keep giving it to Nick Chubb. There's not a ton of pass catchers out there for Nick Mullins. David Njoku. Okay, we're on the same page then. David Njoku, as you nod your head. I guess 2.5 catches.
Okay.
But maybe it's a little bit higher if he's the only tight end because Austin Hooper and Harrison Bryant is actually injured. To add to the Browns' problems, they also have Harrison Bryant and Malik Jackson are listed as questionable. So I like Njoku over catches and over receiving yards if it's low enough. It would need to be in the mid-30s or lower, maybe?
I was going to say like 30.5. I feel I'd be comfortable going over.
Yeah, that's I mean, even up to like maybe 33.5 just because, again, you know, can't stress enough this is fluid, but no Jarvis Landry. You know, he's going to be thrown to Donovan Peoples-Jones is, you know, could end up being a factor in this game. And we'll touch on the DFS stuff. We'll do the two-game slate at the end of the full podcast. But first touchdown score, I don't know what you do here. I mean. I'll see if I've got anything on this on my site. I mean, sorry if this podcast for those listening feels like riding with my wife on the highway, but
I mean, the Nick Chubb number is going to be ridiculous. I mean,
I don't know how you said it where I don't take the over on Nick Chubb carries and rush yards.
Right. But I'm saying even first touchdown like that. Also,
Right. Nick Chubb will be like 4-1. Yeah.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah. I have anytime touchdowns. That's a bet. Nick Chubb minus 125 anytime touchdown. I'll take that all day.
Sure. Absolutely. But I think maybe first touchdown, depending on what the odds are. Njoku might be a play there. He could be somebody that you look at.
Njoku first touchdown for sure. It would need to be probably 13-1 or 12-1 or better. And exactly what I was thinking. There just won't be a lot of guys out there. David Njoku, anytime touchdown, David Njoku plus 275. I do not dislike that.
Okay.
Like that's stabbable, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, half unit play on David Njoku anytime touchdown, 275. We also have Dearness Johnson might get some carries here too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is an offense that will feature multiple running backs. We've seen it time and time again. And if Kareem Hunt is not going to play in this game, then you know, sure, Johnson's going to have plenty of work when Nick Chubb's not on the field.
Yeah, Darren Waller is out for this game as well for the Raiders. That's probably important too. So Foster Moreau, plus 250 anytime touchdown. Let me see if I got numbers for him on props. Receptions. I've got Hunter Renfrow over under 6.5 receptions. Foster Moreau, 26.5 receiving yards. And like you said, Hunter Renfrow, 77.5 receiving yards. I think that there's a case to take the under on Hunter Renfrow. And I was looking at it. If you look at some of projection wise, he projects way under that in certain, depending on, you know, what you're looking at. The problem is for the first 11 weeks of the season, Hunter Renfrow averaged 5.6 catches per game and 52.4 yards per game. And he was Hunter Renfrow, short, late round pick from Clemson, who looks like me and you. Over the last 3 weeks, Hunter Renfrow is averaging 10 catches and 117.7 yards per game. He only has one touchdown in that span, but he's morphed into Calvin Johnson, so like first round pick. And so it's a little scary to get in front of Hunter Renfrow, given his targets 9, 10, and 14 the last 3 weeks. He has not caught three of his insanely large amount of targets over the last 3 weeks. He's been incredible.
Well, it's not a coincidence that Darren Waller hasn't been playing in
it. For sure.
So it's where all of those targets are going. And again,
Derek Carr doesn't trust anybody else on that offense, really.
Exactly. The Raiders don't have a lot of pass catchers that Derek Carr feels comfortable throwing to. They've just been decimated either through off the field issues or injuries. And Hunter Renfro is for sure one of the guys that maybe the guy that Derek Carr likes to throw to, even when everybody's healthy and on the field. So again, it's not surprising to see those numbers go up. I do agree with you, I guess, because again, he's been an absolute stud over these last 3 weeks. But when you're talking about a game that we're looking at here, and just a lot of, you know, it looks like it's going to be an under game, or it feels like the makings of something that's going to go under, I don't know if he's going to see that many opportunities to really just absolutely light it up through the air.
The issue is that if the Raiders get up,
yeah,
the question is, do they get up via Hunter Renfro? Because that's how you would get that's how you'd get wrecked here. If they get up without Hunter Renfro, then you feel pretty good about this going under, because they're going to lean into Josh Jacobs and just run the crap out of the ball. There's a situation where the Browns have a double digit lead, 14-0 in the second quarter, and it's just the Hunter Renfro show, and that's a little unnerving. And it's not like, you know, he could go for 80 yards. Pretty easily on seven catches.
That would be a quiet night compared to his last month.
Right. Crazy. And it's just, he could get there really quickly in like the third quarter or something like that. So I don't know that I necessarily want to get in front of that under, just because it's, you know, of who we're talking about. Derek Carr under passing. I like Derek Carr under passing yards at two, still like it at 255.5. Any other props that we're making up on the fly? Actually, you know what? I even suggested, I was thinking about last night. I saw Foster Moreau was 11-1 for first touchdown. I don't hate that. Derek Carr was 24-1. Don't hate that. I just think you could even just put like two units on Nick Chubb, 5-1.
Yeah.
And
it's kind of, that's what I was saying earlier. It just feels like this is one of those games where maybe you just lean into that. We always try to look for like that 10-1 or better value. But in a game like this, where one side in the Browns clearly is decimated in terms of skill position players on the offensive side of the ball, you might just double down on their best guy that right. They were going to give it to anyways.
The Browns offense is going to flow through one guy, and it's Nick Chubb. And they're basically going to ask the offensive line, go out there, block your asses off, let Chubb pop one to the house, and we can win this game. And if you're Cleveland, you're thinking, you come away with a win here. You're in first place in the division, despite everything that's happened to you this season. You know, the worst possible injury luck, you know, tons of COVID issues, you know, the Dearness Johnson game you pointed out. You feel like if you go out and steal this game, like all of a sudden, maybe it is a magical season, you know, or I don't know if there's anything magical about the season, but maybe it's a special year, something like that. Okay. That is the Las Vegas game. Jeez. As best we can do it. And it's, If you have questions about a prop, if you have questions about some sort of bet that you want to make, any kind of issue, tweet us at Tyler Sully or at Will Brinson, and we will try to answer it for you. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we will discuss the second Monday night game, Bears hosting the Vikings.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
So Minnesota and Chicago will play at 8:15 in the regular slot on Monday Night Football. The Vikings are now a robust 6.5-point favorite, Sully, with an over-under of 45.5. This line was 4 yesterday and now has shot up to 6.5. I would assume, even though we don't have, I mean, if you go to the injury report and look at it, and we don't know the official status and probably won't know until Monday night, and if you've seen something different, please let me know. But Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks, both questionable. Dalvin Cook, no injury designation. Rashad Breeland, did he get cut? Yeah.
He's been cut.
Yeah. Adam Thielen is questionable and hasn't practiced. Christian Darrisaw is going to be back. Eric Kendricks is going to be back. The Vikings look pretty healthy, and the Bears look like a hot. I mean, a bunch of the guys got through for Chicago in terms of their availability. But Jason Peters is out, and Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks are both questionable. Roquan Smith and Akeem Hicks, hashtag matter. If you told me that the spread moved 2.5 points, I would assume that somebody in Vegas knew that Roquan and Akeem Hicks were not going to play, because those dudes against Minnesota are incredibly important in the Chicago's run defense. And without them, man, it's hard not to picture Dalvin Cook having a field day.
Yeah, no, and again, you know, the Bears have already kind of struggled a little bit against the run there too, and you have Dalvin Cook coming off that monster game against Pittsburgh. It's a well-rested Vikings team. I don't love the 6.5 with Kirk Cousins in prime time. I don't love it, but I'm taking it. I'm laying the points with the Vikings here just because of what's going on the other side. But not only that, too, the Bears secondary has been hit pretty hard with COVID as well. So, you know, this is an opportunity here for Cousins to play well through the air as well. So, yeah, no, again, it's a clear Vikings play here. It's, you know, the Bears, they've been 0-4 against the spread at home their last four games. It's just, it has all the makings of the Vikings being able to clear this pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is a terrible football team. You know, they're just not very good. This line is probably going to get to 7, I would think. Maybe there's some buyback there with Chicago, but you know, Justin Fields against a Mike Zimmer defense that's a little bit is healthier than maybe it's been in a while. At least they got some guys back. As we mentioned, Darrisaw, not that, you know, he's a rookie tackle, but you know, it's a body on the offensive line. The Vikings offensive line has not been very good in pass protection, but they can lean into you and run on you. And again, with no Hicks, if Hicks and Roquan are out, it's difficult to imagine how the Bears are capable of slowing down Dalvin Cook. This is also, I know the Bears defense has sort of had their way with Minnesota, but man, this is Dalvin Cook's season. Like, this is when Mike Zimmer knows the chips on the table, back is up against the wall, yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera. He likes to give, and Dalvin was hurt, had like 200 rushing yards, and was still just running him out there. They will run him. They paid him, and they are not afraid to run him into a brick wall to get into the playoffs. And I think that's what they're going to do on this evening. I think we see a ton of Dalvin Cook. I would probably, I agree that we both like the Vikings. I don't really have an opinion on the over or under 45.5. As far as props go, I think Dalvin Cook over 92.5 rushing yards is absolutely bettable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I actually like his receiving yards a little bit better. There's more value there at -110, or at least the last time I saw it was at 16.5 receiving yards. I like the over on that. He's gone over in 4 straight games. He's in Chicago, 20th in DVOA against passing yards against the running back. So again, you're breaking it down a little bit even more. And he's just somebody who's going to see some volume there in the passing game as well. As much as we're talking about how he's going to dominate on the ground, that is a small number for somebody who's still involved in the passing game and has a pretty good matchup there. But quickly, you say you don't have an opinion about the total in this game. I like the over. I'm pretty big on the over on this.
Oh, that's okay.
That's what I probably feel most best about in this game. The Vikings,
really?
Yeah, I really do. Just because, again, what we've seen from the Vikings over the last 6 weeks, basically, have just been all of their games going over. It has been a huge, you know, this number specifically, they've gone over in the last 6 weeks. They're averaging in total of their last 6 games, 58 points per game. The over is 8-1 in their last 9 road games. In Chicago, even, You know, again, it's not a prolific offense by any stretch of the imagination, but they had, I believe, 30 points last week against Green Bay. They've had 22.6 points over the last 3 weeks. That's enough to get you where you need to go in terms of this over on the other side. The Vikings, I think, will handle the rest of the way there, but if they can get to 20 points, which I believe they will, the Vikings will get us the rest of the way.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, they throttled the Steelers, but they still gave up 28 points to Pittsburgh. Yeah, they lose to the Lions, give up 29 points to the Lions, 34 to San Francisco, 31 to Green Bay. Yeah, they've been coughing up points, and this game, God, they play the Bears twice in the next month, and it is those two Bears games are sandwiching the Rams at home and at the Packers. I mean, you have to. This is a must win game for the Vikings. Yeah. Like, they have to find a way to beat the Bears, because I think if you beat them on the road, then you get them at home in week 18, you're probably getting a pretty dejected Bears squad, especially if they got a face full of Dalvin Cook. And to your point, yeah, they play the Packers 30-45, right? In that insane game, 55 points against the Cardinals. I think if they're not afraid to get involved in ugly games, but the Vikings are sort of a raise your floor type of team. And if that's the case, I could certainly see Justin Fields we have a couple explosive plays, you could see the Bears find a way to manufacture 17 to 20 points.
Well, that's the other thing too, you know, going back and forth here with the props a little bit, but they correlate. The Vikings, they lead, or going into week 15, they led the NFL in sacks. They've been able to put pressure on the quarterback. But when you're going up against a mobile guy like Fields, he's already going to run a bunch. And if all of a sudden you're forcing him, flushing him out of the pocket, I feel like that makes him only more dynamic and will only maybe create the potential for more big plays for the Bears offense. So to me, again, that's just kind of one of those things where, you know, I like his rushing over props here, but I also, that ability for them to get after the quarterback, I think almost helps the over in this game, because it's going to force
Fields out of the pocket and make him run. Yeah, what is his rushing yards?
I had it at 37.5.
Yeah, I like that over. Oh, it's up to 39.5 now.
Okay.
Juiced -130 to the over. All right, I'm going to go ahead and, I mean, I know this doesn't help anybody. I got 40.5 juiced up to, I know this doesn't help anybody on the podcast. I'm betting it now. So I'm betting over Justin Fields rush yards, over Dalvin Cook rush yards. I know 92.5 is a huge number. I get it. It's a little concerning. I don't care. And I think if you're betting on Caesars, you can also, if you want to bet the over, and you like Sully's idea, but you're worried about game, you know, Cook getting game scripted out, over 112.5 rushing receiving yards isn't a terrible bet either, because he could easily get there with a jailbreak run, or, you know, you catch a screen pass to the house for 60 yards and you're there.
Yeah. And I believe Alexander Mattinson not playing in this game, right? Is he dealing with COVID or an injury?
He is COVID. He's on the COVID list. Yeah.
COVID, right.
I mean, they're not going to turn to Madison. They're not going to yank him out. They're going to go with Cook. They're going to feed Dalvin Cook. So even if they've got a big lead, you're probably still going to see Cook until they would have to be up 20 plus points in the fourth quarter for Dalvin Cook not to be getting some carries. And Dalvin is a maniac. He wants the carries.
And like you said, this is a huge game for them, particularly with the opponents coming up.
It's a must-win game. I mean, yeah, they're 6-7. The 49ers have pushed themselves up into that upper tier of the playoff race in the NFC. If, you know, New Orleans wins in Tampa Bay, a massive win for the Saints with an easy schedule coming up. Minnesota doesn't have an easy schedule. And if you lose this game, you're 6-8 with the Rams, Packers, and then the Bears left, and you feel like maybe the best you can do is 7-10, maybe 8-9, but that's not getting you to the playoffs.
No,
this is a must win game for the Vikings. Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling more comfortable about Minnesota against the spread. Although obviously you'd rather have 4 than you would 3.5. Okay, so first touchdown scores. I'm gonna guess that Dalvin Cook is like 2-1 or something like that. I mean, what do we think? Plus 310.
310.
Oh, my God. Come on.
The one I liked the most was, and again, I saw this at Caesars this morning. It's probably moved since then, but Fields 13-1.
It's still 13-1. Yeah, that's I like that a lot. Jakeem Grant 20-1. I know he's mostly a explosive play guy, but he was heavily involved last week.
Demir Bird was a 20-1 kind of guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, basically, there's no value on the on anybody from Minnesota unless you want to take Kirk Cousins at 40-1. I feel like Cousins. I'll probably splash on Cousins at 40-1, but I don't love it. You know, look, Dalvin is 310. That's as low as we've seen a first touchdown score all season, Sully. Justin Jefferson 5-1, David Montgomery 7-1. I mean, you don't need to be betting on those. Mooney at 13-1, and Mooney and Fields at 13-1. I'm probably looking at Conklin at 13-1 is fine. Cole Kmet at 19-1. I mean, any of these guys in that 13-23 range, probably ending with Jimmy Graham at 23-1, only because they roll his dusty ass out there in the red zone and throw to him. It's like, it's sort of like the Cardinals do with their running backs. It's like Cole Kmet the whole way down, and then all right, we got Jimmy in the red zone. Let's use him. It's like, why? What are we doing here?
I forget if it was a Thursday game or whatever game. It had to have been a Thursday game. We were previewing it. We nailed that one.
We called Jimmy. We were like, Jimmy, they're going to roll Jimmy Graham out there, and he caught it. Yeah, sure enough. Yeah, so I think those would probably be my picks for first touchdown score. And the other thing, too, you know, we talked about live betting when we were discussing Cleveland and in Las Vegas. I don't know how many people have live betting first touchdown options, but so for whatever reason, my local site does this thing where it caps all first touchdown scores at 7-1 on the live betting like page. But when it goes live, like usually Dalvin Cook will be like 6-1 or 5.5-1. And if the Bears get the ball, Dalvin Cook will be 7-1. So you can sort of jump in there and actually get a little bit of value on these, like, you know, somebody who you think is probably going to be the first touchdown scorer, but you don't want to bet him at 3-1. You just can't bet 3-1.
No, it's almost enticing for the people who don't know what they're doing, because it's just like, oh, Dalvin Cook plus 300.
But it probably is going to be Dalvin Cook. That's the thing. It's like,
but again, it's almost like we were talking about with Nick Chubb in the other game. It's just like, all right, well, maybe it's just one of those games where you just lean on it. Because I know we talked about it with Najee at a game earlier this year too. It was, you know, very similar situation where, but it's just like, man, he's just getting the looks.
Here's the ultimate like odd stat for Dalvin Cook. What do you think his odds are? I don't know if you've seen it, just tell me. But what do you think his odds are to score 3 touchdowns or more?
Oh, I haven't seen it. So it's probably like, I mean, it's probably plus 5. Is it 5-1?
It's 8-1, but you're not off. I mean, that's insane to score 3 touchdowns.
It's crazy.
To put that in context, it's like, I mean, Justin Jefferson's 19-1 to score 3. What do we do? What? How is he 3 touchdowns is a monster game. How is that? That has to be like 50-1 for any person. What is happening here? Dalvin Cook plus 210 to score 2 or more touchdowns. He can't minus 250 to score a touchdown. I mean, Vegas has some concerns about this Chicago defense.
Yeah. Well, in general, I thought you were saying like Vegas has concerns about touchdown bets. Like they
Clearly they're worried about these. I mean, somebody who hurt you, Las Vegas. Any other props for this game?
For me, I like it's not crazy value at minus 160, but I love the over Cousins 1.5 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
He's had 10 multi touchdown passes.
I think we talked about this on the last Vikings primetime game last Thursday. You said,
it's exactly what it is.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So. You were like, he goes over this every time. I know it's a lot of juice, but you should bet it. And he went over
time and let's do it again, you know, cause he's going over, and the Chicago secondary has been dealing with some COVID issues too. So it's a pretty solid matchup for him on that as well.
Yeah. And what you see a lot of times too, is the Eddie Jackson, Artie Burns, both out with COVID. Allen Robinson, is he,
I don't think he's cleared. He was a COVID guy, but I'm not sure he's cleared. I'll double check it real quick.
No, he's on the COVID list currently. I don't think he's been cleared. I think we would know if he'd been cleared.
That would have came across.
I guess in theory he could still test out, but I would not expect to see him play. It would be pretty surprising, I think.
Yeah. Huh. I would operate, at least we should operate, that he's not playing.
Yeah, and really the Bears have been operating like he's not playing all season long. So.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.